part like in Knin and so on. And this is so closely related that the problem is that are not only the number of people. Now there are 300,000 refugees in the territory of Croatia.
300,000
Yeah,
in
in
Croatia,
Croatia
not
and
including Hungary,
not including
Bosnia.
Hungary. Hungary, Bosnia, Serbia and Austria are additional 200,000. Approximate
Hungary.
number in Serbia is 120,000 in Serbia. See, the problem is not only the number of these people. The problem is that there are more than 200 major Croatian villages completely destroyed. So that means any infrastructure, houses, then any facility, any infrastructure in these villages, including churches and hospitals or medical centers have been destroyed. So until these people are not in their homes, there will be no final solution of the consequences of the war. So looking and speaking individually about these people, not as a nation, not Croatia as a nation, not they as a group, as a large group of let's say almost 15% of population will be displaced. But their individual problems will be more severe because every man who have built the house or who has been living in a on an old fatherland for the whole life has only one wish, to return home. The exception being only Vukovar, where with the first interviewing of these people, they don't express any wish to come back. Yeah, not, they don't have a real wish to, they like to go back, they would like to fight to come back in Vukovar, but they do not like to live in Vukovar.
Yes, I have discovered the
Yeah,
same thing.
so the I'm saying on the all in all other circumstances, there is a passionate wish of the people to come back, especially people from Slavonia. And since they are completely psychologically related to the earth, to the ground, they will do any type of trouble to anybody, to our government, to Serbian occupational power, to anybody until they are settled. And you can expect the movement, something like after Holocaust, that the people will be organized and they will try to solve the problem. They will go after the people who have been killing them, destroying and so on. Not politicians.
So what you're saying is that if the government is
Yeah.
not prepared to solve this problem, the people will solve it for themselves,
Yeah.
and this may cause even bigger problems for the government.
For example, I was informed in Geneva about the case than in Cyprus. There were 1,500 people killed in the 7 days of the war, in 74. And until today, it was not so, where are these people? There was no proper identification done, and this is the source of the turbulence and tension in this area. So now, can you imagine what would be with Vukovar, where there are now 3,000 people missing, male persons?
3,000 male persons
Are missing. Probably 2,000 are in the prison.
in Vukovar.
Yeah.
And that's just one town.
No. We have, yeah, one town. We have names. So names and witnesses who is missing. We may find most of them, but what if we don't find 1,000? what will happen with it, who will identify the body. So therefore there is a joint commission committee under supervision of International Red Cross, but I'm absolutely sure that it is in the interest of both sides, aggressor and ours, to solve the problem, because otherwise there would be source of the permanent tension.
Yes.
So I expect at this global level very much of the tension regarding this crime or massacre or destruction of cities, but on the individual basis I explain you the main problem in the war. It is surprisingly how very little of other problems like alcoholism and or suicide we have among the displaced persons and refugees right now, when there is a defense.
I'm not worried about them so much this case.
Yeah.
My experience in reporting other wars is that after the war, when the adrenaline is no longer
clear, they will be pro. I understand you.
This is the big problem.
So going now back to the consequences of the war, it will be certainly the problem of the people who have been invalids, handicapped due to the war. We have a two-third are civilian casualties. That's very crucial evidence. And this is changing during the war. Like in Vukovar, in the beginning, there were 50-50 defense forces, civilians. On the end, the last 15 days, there were more than two-thirds of civilians, because they were using Panzer grenades who were penetrating floors and going in the basement and so on. So these two-thirds of the people, civilians who were wounded, will be more, they will have more problem than those army or Croatian army soldiers or policemen, because the organization will take care of them.
Can I ask you a specific question? Has anybody from the health ministry here or from your departments here gone and spoken to, shall we say, the Americans with experience of Vietnam, the British with experience of the Falklands, or because I'm afraid
we have to do this. Look, for the moment, you are right. We are so much involved in the current problems that we don't think enough in advance for the consequences of the war, except maybe refugees problem, where now there is an office at the level of vice president of government. So it's an official opening tomorrow. That means that it will be at the level of the president of the government. So we are happy with this. So it is a very good solution. It will be not on a level of ministry of social welfare, but we are a small country. Therefore, we were looking more on Israeli model than on the model of other countries. So there in Israel, it is due to the permanent tension, a permanent war situation. There is no distinguish between the people who were army soldiers and handicapped after the injury in the war, in the battle, or the regular civilians. They are all equal. So there is no veteran organization, no special treatment of veterans. So we are inclined to find this solution. But we shall give to the veterans and to the civilians a right to organize themselves in a very potent social.
But if you'll excuse my saying so, this country has not had a great deal of experience in people organizing themselves. Can you be satisfied that they will, first of all, have the experience and the facilities to organize themselves, and secondly, that they will know how to organize themselves?
We shall think about, we are thinking this about this way. We shall find a so-called professional power advisors who will send them around. But then in addition, we shall find a role energy. That means the people who are actually the victims of the war. So we shall join these two groups of people. Victimology, society, ministry of let's say, legal or law and so on. They will give professional volunteers to help this raw energy.
Now, where are the professional volunteers at the moment?
They are now, we are looking on these volunteers. We have selected 10 groups of these professional volunteers. One category are definitively the law people, victimologists and so on. Second category are doctors. The third category are very distinguished volunteers from the mostly from any political party, especially from those liberal parties like Budisha and so on. We shall ask them to be a professional, let's say, structure behind this organization. Then they will be from the Caritas and other humanitarian organization like Red Cross, Croatian Red Cross, Caritas, and so on. Then we shall take like Matica Hrvatska, you know, this type of people. And in order to be efficient, we shall take some people who are right now in government. So if they change, if they this party loses election, whatever, then they will be informed after the war what was going on during the war. So they will have access to documentation and so on.
Now, that's fine, but the thing that I'm really getting to is that in the British Army, the American Army, and I think probably in the Israeli Army, if you're going to take that, that from the battlefront, right the way back through the medical reception centers, back to the general hospitals here, there are post-traumatic stress counselors. These are people trained to deal with the psychology. The psychology begins at the front. Yeah. Now, I've been to Weyburn Hospital. Those facilities don't exist.
Now, but look, now there is a new phase of the war. See, we have proposed organizations similar to the Israeli army. That means at the level of brigade, we shall have experts for dealing with combat stress reaction. That means there will be at least in a surgical unit will be at least two people of the profile like psychiatrists or social workers. The problem is that we don't have enough trained social workers. They have been trained in social self-managing system, so they are probably nice people, but they are not properly educated. So that's another point we like to propose to the university, that it puts a tremendous attention to education of these social workers. And in the meantime, we shall send several groups in Israel. We already have arranged. I was in Israel, so we already discussed this possibility. And we are aware of the importance of this psychological treatment, especially it is important during the war. Then these people should not go in touch with the civilians. So now it's wrong what we are doing, that the people with this combat go in the hospital to the surgery department. That's bad. Because half of the combat stress reaction can be cured simply at the level of commander. And so we have now proposed this to our medical headquarters in National Guard. And they accepted this basically, but we need now people for this position. So far we have only secured a battalion level. And we shall have at the brigade level and division level this type of people.
Fine. But when the war is over, your army will presumably be very small.
Will be, like Israeli, only small professional staff, and and we plan to get our psychiatrists to do the same thing as in Israel. They will be on their position in hospitals or faculty or any, but they will still be working in the centers for those people who have consequences of the war. So they will be not professional people, they will be in reserve.
Fine. Now, how does anybody, your wife, girlfriend in Zagreb, if I had one, how do those people offer their services for training in stress counseling, post-traumatic stress counseling? At the moment, there is one tiny column, about two centimeters long, in the back of a newspaper from the Red Cross, which says, if you need any help, please ring this telephone number. Mm-hmm. And that is all that I've seen.
Okay, so just show you
one. Are you making an appeal?
Look, for example, you just came now, but look what we have, what we were doing today, you know, civilian casualties of the war, handicapped children. Mm-hmm. So so we are making scheme about that means so-called proposal for self-organization of invalid. So we are in the process that we like to. You are right in one respect that we were not able during this turbulent short period of the war. We were not able to concentrate the enormous energy of the population, and the population and the people like to help. We were not able to concentrate this effort into a very systematic organization. You are absolutely right in this respect. But seeing how the people like to help, how the people so far behave extremely well with these displaced persons, how actual educational level of the people is very high in Croatia, and especially that there is an enormous piece of solidarity, especially in the parts which has been not destroyed by the war. I'm optimistic that if we design this properly, especially with
You see, what I'm getting at is the fact that nobody will blame Croatia for its inability to get organized now. It has been a miracle for Croatia that you have achieved what you have. But I think that once this question is raised, and you are raising it, I'm raising it, I'm sure many other people are, if you have not prepared and planned, and if you have not dealt with the consequences of this, then I have a feeling that you will end up with a Cyprus situation, with a Northern Ireland situation, in which you will produce generation after generation of embittered, sick people. Another point in this is that there are very large numbers of people in Zagreb and elsewhere who have found an identity in extreme military. Those people are going to find it very hard at the end of the war when they find that they suddenly haven't got an identity. And you know I'm talking about.
I know. That, I must confess, will be a major problem, because the people, after the war would be difficult, say, now you have been a hero, now you have to work, you know. And after 15 years, you shall reach the level of the Netherlands from 56, you know. This is the special problem because the people on this territory were always thinking that everything is temporary. So although the communist Yugoslavia was a very strong in terms of holding everything together, absolute police control, secret services, you know, the people were thinking, well, nothing was permanent here. So there's the problem. You cannot get the people to work 10 years to see results. And special trouble will be from the people who have been fighting, and then they will accuse now Zagreb was not destroyed, Rijeka was not, they will go. So we have to prepare ourselves definitively on this. But what I'm saying there
what
is...
What they will also say, if you excuse my saying so, mm-hmm. is, okay. yes, Professor Sokolic and the government, yeah. and yeah. they all say, yes, we will do something. But we have been told this 1,000 times, something will be done, we will organize something, okay. it will be done. How much of a guarantee, what evidence can we give people that not only the government will do something, but that they themselves can do something? I mean, can you give me a telephone number which volunteers can ring and say, I have 3 hours in the evening, I'm prepared to come for training, I'm prepared to offer my services to hospitals, to psychiatric clinics, to welfare centers, to refugee camps.
I can answer your question the following way, indirectly. My problem was that I have, let's say, rejected the help of 80% of people because we found that without having a clear concept, and a clear position in simply diminish or it is not how I would say, honest towards their warm wish to help. So only on the basis of this that I have to refuse the help of 80% doctors at my school of medicine, saying them there is no right now a proper position for you. You cannot help refugees because we didn't organize the help. You cannot go and serve as a nurse because we have enough nurses and so on. So that was the problem. So on the basis of this, that I have actually rejected 80% of people their help, I'm optimistic if we develop the system through Red Cross, through Caritas, for example, does use volunteers. They ask us, send me students. For example, we have approximately 150 students who are permanently on duty. That means Vukovar refugees, they took anamnesis in the very day, morning of 2,000 people. So then we send them to register the people in a hotel, asking them, let's say, who you think from your family is in prison and so on. Then we have them, these students, to work, to take from the trucks the food. Then Caritas ask us, so we send to Caritas. All our donation system is based on the help from Croatians and some like America Cares and other relief, let's say, societies. And so these 200, between 150 and 200 students were permanently serving to all these. So we have, at least at the university, 30,000 students permanently on disposal. So whatever I need, I just call and I get it.
Right.
So university is important way of organizing. We have in the schools. So when there was a problem, the people from the school, high junior school, were serving to take things from the trucks, to sort the food, and so on. So we have from the formal, let's say, system, or from the structural level, we have many possibilities to organize the people very fast. So one organization, which is underestimated because of being a part of the Yugoslav Red Cross, it's Croatian Red Cross, and it will be of increasing importance, because the International Committee of Red Cross likes to be a partner of United Nations in Yugoslavia, and they like to be trained in order to appear as a humanitarian partner if something goes wrong in the Soviet Union. So already this situation, that we have behind a strong interest of International Red Cross, which will be vertically with subordination go at the level of Croatia, will force Croatian Red Cross to be better than it was before. Right. And this is important to say, that the people who were actually in defense force, that this committee...
So this committee is the...
It's working perfectly. I heard that there is no any problem with this. So
can we just say
this? This is defense, Ministry of Defense.
Yes.
And it is a Ministry of Defense, and together with the military headquarters.
Yes.
National Guard headquarters has a division for victim guardists.
Right.
And it's working perfectly.
Good.
Everything from the beginning to the families.
Right.
So they have, so we have no problem with defense force, and that is going to be the major problem, because
can I give you a small example of what I mean? It's very small, and it's perhaps a detail to you. I went to the Rebro Hospital, and I went into a ward, into a room with six soldiers in it.
Yeah.
It's a very small room, the beds are very close together, there are no curtains around the bed. Yeah. Some of these men have lost legs, arms, some of them worse.
Yeah.
And their wives and their girlfriends come to visit them in hospital.
Yeah.
But there is no privacy. If that man wants to cry with his girlfriend, I'm afraid six people are going to be watching him.
Yeah, yeah. You are right.
It's very simple things. Now,
The only, let's say, optimistic things, that was even before the war. I mean, those people were used to have no privacy. Our hospital were overcrowded and very poorly managed even before the war. So the you see, one thing you should know, that the standards of West Europe not necessarily apply to us. For example, the secret, let's say, services of the all Western countries, together with United States, informed our government, of everybody, that we are lost if we begin the war with the army. Because the Western strategy was defined by assumption that we are not so crazy to lose cities and lives in order to have something we will eventually get in next 15 years. See, so that was every secret service, CIA, whatever, British, were actually not predicting the situation well.
Yes.
Because they thought that army will destroy us in a blitzkrieg, because they would not think that we would be so crazy to lose 100,000 lives to have something like borders of the state. So this is also another crazy thing. So some of these problems will be automatically relieved by the fact that there is a peace in a country you have been waiting for a long, long time.
I understand that, yes. Yeah. Psychologically, though, it is a more positive situation than Vietnam, for example.
Yeah, absolutely, I'm sure.
But Can we go to the statistics?
Let's go to statistics.
What?
Did you get this?
I have been seeing these. I haven't seen this particular one.
This is without Vukovar. Vukovar is just right down 1600.
16,000 or 1600?
1600.
1600. Vukovar.
Vukovar. Rough estimation. Vukovar.
And that is...
But without this killing of 1,000 people, what army or terrorists did, and this missing person. This is what we think that happened until army entered the hospital area in Borovo Naselje, okay?
Until the fall...
Yeah.
Of Vukovar. I'm sorry, your time is... Yeah. The fall of...
You just...
Vukovar. So, in addition to this 1,600,
yeah.
You say that there are 1,000 missing.
No, 3,000.
3,000 missing. Sorry, 3,000 missing.
3,000 missing, and I believe that 2,000 will have will be prisoners of the war, and approximately between 500 and 1,000 were killed there.
500 to 1,000.
Yeah. This is a rough estimate, you know,
killed.
Because the witnesses say only the man was taken by terrorists in an unknown direction or behind the cell.
But now, can I raise something with you here, which I find very puzzling? I was in Dubrovnik.
Yeah.
In fact, I was there for 2 days.
Okay.
In the 2 days that I was there, 5 children were killed.
Yeah.
On this list, you have that 7 children have been killed altogether.
Because they didn't report. You see, the problem is that was the case for Vukovar. This is computer. If there is a name, then is the figure here. There may be 1,000 lying around on the Slavonia, but in the computer report, I should not give it, because I have to have a name.
No, I admire tremendously your figures and the fact that you are reporting only what you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what journalists want.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It doesn't alter the fact that I find just that one about children in Dubrovnik most surprising, because literally in the 48 hours that I was there under bombardment, I know that 5 children died.
Yeah.
And so if in 2 months, only another 2 children have died, I would be most surprised.
Yeah.
So these figures, what percentage do you think underestimate these figures?
I shall tell you. Let me first explain Dubrovnik. See, Dubrovnik is a particularly bad in connection. They have electronic mail connection with us, and they are very poor in communicating.
Yes.
It's absolutely their guilty. They are extremely poor in communication. They had a connection through radio stations, and they didn't use. And our man was wounded, so he stopped to be reporting, and instead they were connected through Sarajevo. And we offered them amateur connection, so when army cuts all their lines.
Mm.
That was done by my division, just by my...
Well, I've used the satellite telephone in the mayor's office at Dubrovnik, and I know it works.
Yeah, yeah. So, but they don't report, you know, because they think that's not important or something. You write them, you know. But what I'm saying, there is underestimation of civilian casualties, civilian casualties in Croatian villages. It can be the whole number can be for 500, even 600 higher than here presented.
500 times?
No.
Sorry.
Only total number, let's say 500 to 600 people can be higher number than shown here, together, in all, especially old people.
Right.
not children. Every child is definitively reported. And this is because of Saborsko, where there are 62 people killed.
Yes.
And we have not access, so Saborsko. We have evidence for 43 plus 22 missing, old people. And nobody pays attention to Saborsko. Everybody pays attention to Dubrovnik. Then we have many missing from Slun.
Slun.
In Petrinja, the number can be as high as 80 to 100.
So this is in Slun, 80?
Slun we don't know the number. But for Petrinja, area between 80 to 100 who are probably killed, but we cannot find evidence.
Right.
And then Dal is the number, can be as high as 300. Because still 300 people are missing from Dal. So all together that makes somewhere...
Absolutely.
So it's what I call rough estimation, but it is based on upon the experience with the whole war. And the one thing see here, you should not play too much. It is clear that wounded people, that one third are severe wounds, one third are slight wounds, and one third are severe wounds which can be very easily cured in the hospital. So I expect from this second group and the first group that there will be at least, let's say, 4,000 handicapped, severely handicapped people. So without going in Rebro Hospital, since this is the war with the two types of wounds, explosive wounds and then fast velocity
shrapnel
or bullets,
open, yeah.
Then you know that devastation is similar as a Vietnam War and other wars.
Rebro are saying that 95% of all their injuries are shrapnel and blast.
That,
and this is confirmed by a doctor who was working in Dubrovnik, who in all the retreat to Dubrovnik never saw one direct bullet wound, not one. And at Rebro, they say perhaps 5% are direct injuries from bullets or whatever, but 95% is shrapnel and blast.
Then I have to correct you that all massacres and all ambush situation had exclusively bullet wounds.
Right.
So. And most of these people die, because there is the head is cut.
But of course, those people don't go to hospital.
Yeah, the head is cut. And
what is the truth about the massacres? I mean,
I know the exact truth. I mean, so far where we have been investigated, it is true that there are more. You see, the most massive type, and I can show you examples if you need, just precise names. The most massive, the most frequent situation is that villages under bombardment or terrorists or whatever they are, territorial, came into the village, and then they killed the people just by a gun, and this is a massacre in terms that civilian had been killed by brutal force of the, but not actually mutilated and so on. Second situation, and this is the most dangerous because it army participants, it's that when they occupy the village or clean the village, then they throw the grenades in the basement, and then army comes with the heavy mechanization and grounds the house. So there is impossible to find the bodies and everything. So that was in Saborsko, that was in a similar situation was in Dal, and on some like Berak, that was the situation. And now it is in surrounding of Vukovar, it was in Tovarnik and so on. So this is the most massive type of massacre, if it's that massacre at all. It is a massive killing.
What about I have seen film, we've all seen film, of, particularly early in the war, which HTV was producing, of how, in statistical terms, do we know what?
Massacre is a small proportion.
It's a small proportion.
Absolutely. There are individual cases, especially in the region of Banja. Because Chetniks in Banja like to cut throat and kill and so on.
When you say small, at the end of this war, what percentage would you...
You mean by actual mutilation, a knife, axe?
Yes. For example, being shooting in the knees, the hips, the removal of heart, the cutting out of tongues, the cutting bodies in half.
Okay. If by now, among 3,000 dead people, we have approximately 100 cases. These are cases of Petski, Četekovci, Saborsko, Škabrnja, and unknown cases in Banja. I think the Banja is the most difficult place. There may be more, but my evidence shows that approximately 100 cases were killed this way. But they are, what is dangerous, distributed along the different points. It's not exclusive for Banja, it was in Slavonia, Dalmatia, Lika and Banja. So it shows that any battlefield has these massacre cases. And I think that that the proportion of Serbian doing massacres against us and us doing something similar to them, although I don't have evidence, there was no single complaint. We have an ethical committee. It's 5-1.
5-1?
Yeah. Five times more
done to Croats than Croats doing to Serbs.
If they do. I don't have evidence except from army propaganda material. And I would appreciate receiving from an international, the most obvious example is so-called Korana Bridge case.
40 children?
No, this is absolute lie.
I know.
Because I have the date and the nurse who brought this child, shown on Belgrade TV, into the hospital. It is 5 years old child who was killed by a grenade at the location Kaplica, together with other children. Some of them are right now in the Belgrade hospital. I have even the name. So there is absolute lie, because there were not too many Serbian children in Vukovar, only old people. They took the children. So it is such an obvious lie. Even I can use their TV reports for evidence against, because they were afraid to take the tag, the label, because they were afraid that it is mine. And this tag is done by our people who put the number to the body, and they put in the book. So it is clear that all these numbers shown on Belgrade TV are Croats. We know the name of these people who were left on the so-called common graves. So it's an absolute lie. But the Korana Bridge case is a very indicative. In Korana Bridge, there were 13 people, 30 armies, reservists killed by our guards. And the army claimed this as a massacre, explaining this to the international community about the terrible massacre. However, these 13 bodies...
30 or 13?
13.
1-3.
These 13 bodies were dissected in our forensic medical department. I gave personally to General Rasheta forensic medical protocols. Then we returned the bodies to the pathology of the Army hospital. And the final result of dissection was that only one soldier was stabbed by a bayonet. The rest were killed by a gunfire. So famous Corona Bridge where the army applied to...
Now they might claim that these people were shot instead of being taken prisoner.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible.
Because there are reports. Their report is that it was so, our report, it was a battle on the Corona Bridge. We put even in a prison for investigation one guardsman who did it, who claimed that he did. So we, and I don't know on the other side, any single case that any army officers or any territorial man was put in prison or under investigation for doing. They always get promotion. So it is clear this Corona Bridge can be clarified by international committee. So I'm a little bit suspicious about army showing evidence of massacres after seeing that obvious example of malinformation. When I know the protocols, and then they claim that the ears were cut, throat was cut, and that was not the case. And our doctors can show this.
Now listen, I know you're very busy, so can I ask you one final question? Yeah. Going back to the consequences at the end of the war, in one sentence, if you like, what is going to be the biggest problem for Croatia? I mean, I have put down here a list of things that occurred to me. The bereaved, refugees, alcoholism, crime, violence. I don't know. Yeah. What is going to be the big medico-social problem that comes out of this?
You're not talking about the economical
problems. No.
I think that there will be two major problems. One will be those people without home and living permanently. You know, they will live the whole life will for them be a temporary life, waiting on something. And the second will be violence on these borders. Will be, if we get something like Northern Ireland, that would be fantastic, you know. So those two things will be, from my point of view, this violence, especially along the borders, you know, and these people without their homes.
Are you concerned, as a doctor, with the effect that these months will have had on children of 3 or 4 or 5 who've been watching it on television, who have seen their parents anxious, depressed, worried?
Yeah, that will give absolute, that will be impact on these children. But looking at the situation after Second World War, when there was also a very terrible situation. The children everywhere recovered very fast, except those children who were actually looking killings or were defending themselves. Seeing the age between, let's say, 5 to 14, for them there would be a permanent trauma.
My final question, this is the last question. If anybody reads this article in Croatia, and they feel that they want to help, or they feel that they are equipped to help, or trained to help in any way, in counseling, in stress management, or whatever, who should they contact?
Yeah, they should contact actually three places. One is Ministry of Social Welfare. Second, the Office for Displaced Persons. This office will be absolutely professionally equipped for any type of help, from the physical help to the psychical. Will be run by highly professional people, medical doctors, psychiatrists, social workers, priests, and so on. And the third place will be a humanitarian organization, not only already existing, like Hrvatski, Croatian Red Cross or Caritas, but there will be, I predict, a development of new associations, such as this one, new association, victim of the war. We shall promote this by a very potential intellectual and other energy. So though, I think this will be played. And we should not forget the interests of Europe and international community, like Doctors Without Borders, Doctors of then different churches, then international Caritas organization. They are coming every day more and more in Croatia, and they offer their help. And I expect that Europe, by feeling guilty, they didn't prevent the war, and that they didn't properly assist during the war, that they will put all efforts into this type of help. And this has been recognized by United Nations, UNICEF, and they will open.
You know this man? He's the United Nations. He's a Spanish.
Absolutely, yeah. He will have, they will have an office here in Zagreb.
Yes.
And from that point, from that period on, it will be absolute concentration of international humanitarian help in Croatia. Actually, United Nations gave a priority now from all parts in Europe to Croatia. So that gives me some pressure that we can solve some problems.